thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. What does it say? Rejoice what? In the Lord. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God's joy to our joy. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You're getting the pattern here? In the Lord, in God. Psalm 33:21 says, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Isaiah 61:10, first part. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalm 64:10. I've only got a few more. Just hang on there. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Psalm 68:3. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Y'all need to memorize this. Rejoice evermore. Do you know how many times joy or rejoice or some form thereof is in the Bible?
192.
How many?
192.
Well, I'll make your... I have no clue. I just figured somebody might know. I don't have enough. Here's what I do know. When I looked it up... Did you just make that up?
No, I just got from the other class.
Oh, well, hallelujah. Well, anyway, I know it's four columns in the Strong's Concordance, and my eyesight is not what it used to be, so I was no way I was counting all those. So, but it's four columns if you look it up. Four columns. It's obviously important to God, because he wouldn't put that many times in the Bible something for us. But it also, what we have to realize is, our joy comes from the Lord. We are to rejoice in the Lord. Now let me tell you, if you're depending on your husband or your circumstances or your boyfriend or your parents or your children or your possessions to make you joyful, I'm going to tell you right now, about day two, you're going to be sad. It's not going to work. That is not where we get our joy. Now, those are things that make us happy at times, but it's not that joy that comes from within. Our true joy comes from the Lord. That innermost joy that you feel comes from the Lord. Now, how do we get this kind of joy? If you're sitting here today and you are not 100% positive that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come see me when this is over, because that is the only way you're going to have true joy is through Jesus Christ. And there's people out there that have tried every other thing but that. And that's why Hollywood has suicides and everything else, because the only true joy is going to come in trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and following his word. I have such a bad habit of talking, and I don't think I have, what is it, the adult ADD where your mind just bing, 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 but I come close. So I may turn a page and if something be there, like, oh, what? So I'm going to try my best today to stay on cue with what's on here. Now, what's going to rob you of that joy? There are things that will rob you of your joy. And if you find yourself just wondering, you know, I don't have that kind of joy. Why don't I have that kind of joy? Sin can rob us of our joy. Never, ever allow known sin to stay in your life. What's the verse? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know something, you're responsible for it. And you need to repent and turn from it. I mean flat out, if God's bringing something to your mind right now that you know, okay, Jim, that you know that should not be there, you need to repent. You need to get it right. And I'm going to tell you how many times I have done this. I'll sit there and I'll hear a sermon, and it will prick me to my heart. And I will go to this altar, and I will lay it down. By the time I walk back to my seat, I have somehow mentally run back up here and picked this thing up and brought it right back to my seat. Don't do it. Don't do it. Lay it at Jesus' feet and confess it and turn from it. I keep hitting this thing. Sorry, y'all. If you are mad or bitter at anybody, oh, get it right. Get it right. If you can close your eyes right now and somebody's face comes to your mind, that's somebody that God might be saying, you know, you're holding this again. This is, forgive them. Whatever they have done to you, forgive them. Because I'm telling you, bitterness will rob you of your joy. Back in probably 1982, like that was yesterday. Back in 1982 at a church in Tennessee, I met this lady. She was probably in her 60s then. No, she couldn't have been. She looked it, but she probably wasn't. Sorry, that was so ugly. And she's in heaven now, so if she's watching this, oh, dear Mary, I'm sorry. Anyway, that was the most bitter woman. Now, granted, her husband had left her for another lady. Now, that would tick me off, and I probably wouldn't get right over it till I slapped both of them one good time. But I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I would really want to slap them both, and I might could get over it if I could just get one good slap in. But y'all, she never got the slap in. She literally never, ever forgave him or that other woman. Now, that was in 82. Every single time that I saw her at church or anywhere, literally she came up. Can you believe? He's still with her. I said, well, Mary, how long has it been? 10 years. I said, well, you think that's going to change now? No, but I just can't believe. Y'all, she died this year, 2015, and she was just as bitter as she was when I met her in 1982. And I hadn't seen her in probably 10 or 15 years, but if she looked 60 back in 82 and she was 60, I hate to think what she looked like when she went to the grave, because she let bitterness eat her up every day. She not only lost her husband, she ended up losing her kids because they couldn't stand to be around her. If you've got somebody that just gets on your nerves, please forgive them for whatever they have done, because it is not worth it. And I guarantee you, Mary could come back from heaven, she'd say, oh, I wish I'd done it differently. Oh, I wish I had done it differently. Pray and ask God for the help you need. He knows what you're struggling with, and there is no one, not your parents, not your husband, not your boyfriend, nobody loves you more than God does. And He wants you to get this right so that you are not robbed of the joy that can only come from Him. Now this next one, now you younger girls probably not going to be bothered with this one iota, is worry. There are people just worry about everything. I mean, my mama worried every time I got on a swing set, jumped down a stair. Oh, you better be careful, you're going to break your neck. Next thing I do, Tanya, don't do that, you're going to break your neck. Everything I did, I was going to break my neck. Now, I'll probably fall going down the stairs and break my neck, but it never was from doing something stupid. But she worried all the time that I was going to break my neck. Most of the stuff that we worry about never, ever happens. And worry is a sin, and it will rob you of your joy. Now turn, if you got your Bibles, you can turn, you don't have to, but because I've got it all written out. Matthew 6, we'll start at verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Please put on clothes. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Listen to this. O ye of little faith. There it is, ladies. O ye of little faith. Your worrying shows you don't have faith. You may have faith, but you have little faith. And it's all about faith. Faith that God will do what he promises he will do. Hebrews 11:6, first part says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think that's our problem a lot of times. We worry because we don't think God can do it, or he's not doing it fast enough to suit us. Goes on, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But you say, well, I'm just worried about this. You know, my mama was a worrier, and my grandma was a worrier. That doesn't mean you get to keep being a worrier. Break that cycle. Nobody goes around and says, well, I'm a drunkard because my mama was a drunkard, my grandma was a drunkard, so I'm just got to be a drunkard. No, you don't have to be. Well, I'm a gossiper because you know my mama was a gossiper, my grandma was a gossiper, so I just got to gossip. No, you don't. Break the cycle because it's sin and you love the Lord and you don't want it to rob you of your joy. I've never met a worrier yet that was a joyful person because they just worry. I guess I don't have sense enough to worry because I just think God's going to take care of everything. And even when he takes care of things and it wasn't like I thought it was going to be, I still think, well, you know what? God knew about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Let me get my place because I'm not going to mess up this time. Here's what you do, all you worriers out there. When that thing that is worrying you to pieces pops in your mind, stop right then. Stop right where you're at and take it to the Lord that instant. I got to pick something. Say, I don't know how I'm going to pay the next bill, whether it be the school bill or whatever. Soon as that comes in your mind, stop right then and say, okay, Lord, you just brought my school bill to mind. You know how you're going to do this, and I just thank you right now that you're going to get this paid. Or whether it's the electric bill, or whether it's that child that's wayward, whatever it is, stop right then and break the cycle of worry. Because it's only going to rob you of the joy. Memorize some verses or scripture that'll help with whatever you're worrying about. A promise that God has promised. If you don't, you're going to lose your joy. Now, all of us want to experience joy in our story. And of the 100 or so ladies that are out here, not all of us, we have some similarities in our story, but not any two of us have the exact same story. There are some of you that are sitting out here that have lost a parent. Some have lost two parents. Some have lost their husbands. Some have lost a boyfriend. Some have lost a child. Some of you have never been able to have children. Some of you are worried that you're not going to get married and never get to have children. Everybody's different. Some of you are dealing with illness, either yourself or a family member or a friend. Some of you have major medical issues going on right now in your life that somebody else maybe doesn't. Somebody here may be having a marriage problem. Some of you may be even contemplating separation or divorce. We're all different. We all have a different story. Some are wondering if you'll ever get married. Some are sitting here, don't know where your next house payment money's coming from. Some don't know how you're going to make the next school bill. Somewhere in this auditorium is sitting someone that has been through or going through somewhat or exactly what you are experiencing right now. But there's someone much greater that knows every hurt, every need that you have. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He knows all about it. I'm a very, simple person. I don't get deep much in anything. Now, my sister, she likes to dig deep. And I'm a black and white person. This is right, this is wrong. Once you tell me, I still goof up big time. But in my mind, that's how I think. Right, wrong. I'm black and white. There's very little gray. And most people are not like that. But we have a Lord and Savior that accepts each of us for how different we are. And He wants our joy to be full. So how do we remain joyful every day? For some people, it's easier than others. Here are just things in my life that I do every day. Now, these are so simple, you're going to just say, well, you are just, something's wrong with you, Tanya. Because this is how I think. Seriously, this is how I think. I remind myself, no matter what is going on in my life, this life is but a vapor. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So I tell myself, okay, no matter what, this life is a vapor. It's probably 2 weeks ago on Facebook, and some of you may have seen it. I just thought it was the neatest illustration. There was a man up on a stage, and there was a thing kind of like this, except it was wooden. I don't know who the man was. I don't know if he's a preacher. I don't know what he was, and I just caught part of it. But he was holding this huge rope, and it was about that big around. It was white, and it just went on forever. I mean, forever. You couldn't see the end of it. And he was holding it, and this much of the rope was sticking out, and he had about that much painted red. It was the best illustration. I hadn't forgotten it in 2 weeks. I forget everything. So in 2 weeks' time. But this is what he said. He said, this is your life. This is eternity. And he said, this little bit right here that's painted red, he said, this is your life that you're alive right here on the earth. He said, we are so concerned about every little thing that goes on in this tiny little section. And we concern ourselves. I mean, we do. We concern ourselves over this much compared to I couldn't see the end of the rope. And he said, we need to be thinking what we do here that will affect the rest of this. I just thought it was the best thing I thought. And it just, I guess I must be visual anyway, because when I saw it, I thought, I will never forget that. That little 4 inches of red is all we have right here. So that has helped me, because when something crazy happens, I just tell myself, life's a vapor, this little bit, react to make it go here. Number two, you have a flat tire. Well, I'll tell you what happened. This made me think of this. It wasn't this year, but it was last year at the leadership conference. Now, this was of my own doing. I made the total mistake of this. I had to run home and cook 10 pounds of sausage quickly so that I could bring it over for dips for the alumni room at the leadership conference. So I'm 20 minutes away. I rush like a mad woman. I get out all the pots. I've got sausage cooking everywhere. Well, normally, you do not pour grease down your drain. But I was in a hurry. So I had those little strainer things, and I was dumping sausage and getting it and putting it. I was in the biggest hurry. But I had people coming over that night, so I couldn't leave the kitchen a mess. So when I was finished with 10 pounds of sausage and I ran the water, it did not go. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, good night in the morning. I have just stopped up all the drains. So I get pots back on there and I boil water. Because in my mind, if you pour big old things of boiling water down, it'll wash it out. It did not work. It just rose. So then I thought, this was good. I just knew this was going to work. If I get the vacuum cleaner. No, not suck it up. If I get the vacuum cleaner and I put it on the blowing end, I'll blow those drains out. Well, I had the presence of mind to realize that I had to stop up that other sink or it would blow it out there. What I did not realize is there is some kind of little gadget on top of your cabinet that lets something out, air or some such. And when I stuck that vacuum cleaner in there and turned that on, it blew up to the ceiling and all over the whole kitchen. I was not rejoicing, I will tell y'all that right now. I'm just looking like, what am I going to do? I've got to get back. Thank the Lord I had all the sausage put up where all that mess didn't go on mine. If that had ruined 10 pounds of sausage, I'd have cried. I'm saying all that to say this. I did get on the phone, and I called my little handyman, Jim, and I said, come quick. I made the biggest mess you've ever seen. And when he walked in, he just about fainted because it was the whole kitchen was a total mess. But you know what I tell myself when stupid stuff like that happens? What difference is that going to make 10 years from now? I mean, really, we get ourselves and we get our panties in a wad over something that 10 years from now is not going to make a hill of beans difference. Not a bit. So when stuff crazy like that happens to you, you just tell yourself, what difference is that going to make 10 years from now? Because it's not. I mean, my kitchen's fine. There's probably stuff I haven't found yet, but it's pretty fine. The third thing I tell myself when something happens, you can keep your joy if you'll just tell yourself this stuff and not let this craziness make you crazy. This is no surprise to God. You know, God wasn't a bit surprised when I blew up the kitchen with sausage grease. I bet he's up there thinking, surely she's going to listen to the Holy Spirit and not do this. But I didn't, and I did, and I had a mess. But it was no surprise to God, and neither is anything that happens to you. It is no surprise to God. Number four, I remind myself, I'm saved. I've got a home waiting on me in heaven. And the Lord could come back today. So, you know, I could have left. If he'd blown the trumpet that day, all that mess would have been there for my neighbors to clean up. But you have a choice. You have a choice. You can let your problems and your hurts and your trials dictate how you live every day. Or you can recite this verse. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what. No matter what. And I see faces out here of people that I know are going through things. And I see them at church, and you would never know it. Now, this is just an extra, and I don't know, the Lord had me do this, because people will rob you of your joy. Certain people. And years ago, I guess they still make this book, but I read it. It was called Spirit-Controlled Temperaments. It may still be out there. But it basically explained the four temperaments that most people are. But it went on. You're probably a combination of two temperaments. But what I liked about the book was each temperament they took, and he told you the strengths and the weaknesses of that temperament. And then he went on to tell you how you could use the Holy Spirit to change your weaknesses into strengths. But what I really liked about it was the fact that it helped me understand why some people tick me off so bad. Because seriously, there's people just get on your nerves. And I'm sure there's people, I get on their nerves. But this book really helped me because I could see that, okay, they're that temperament. That's so opposite of my temperament. And they just haven't learned how to use the Holy Spirit to change that weakness into a strength. And I certainly need to use the Holy Spirit to change my weaknesses into strengths. So that book, it was the neatest book. But it helped me to understand how to deal with people that weren't just like me. But if you're around somebody that's rough, if you walk away from somebody and you don't feel better after you're just there, you might ought to pick another friend, because they will rob you of your joy. Seriously, rob you. I can't do it. I can do it for a minute or so. Love you. Have a good day. What's wrong? I'll pray for you. Write it down and pray for them. But that's about as far as it can go with me. And you may be different, and God may give you that ministry. But don't let people rob you of your joy. Some people seem happy all the time. Some people rarely ever have a smile on their face. And some people, seriously, I just wonder if they're really saved, because I never see it. And our temperaments usually play a big role in this, how we act and how we react. But I just threw that in there because you're going to deal with all four temperaments for the rest of your life and as long as you live, until we get our glorified bodies. But once you understand them, you'll be able to love them all with the Holy Spirit's help. So don't let them rob you of your joy. And the reason I'm saying, I put P.S., there are people who have the joy of the Lord, but you could never tell it by looking at their faces. I'm just adding that in here for my benefit, because I have come to the wrong conclusion way too many times. And one of these is people who are in constant pain. I don't know if you've ever been in a constant pain or a constant hurting, but it is hard to have a smile on your face when you're in constant pain. With each of my pregnancies, heaven help me, I was so nauseated, and everything I ate came up for 3 solid months with all 8. And when I say, you know, you talk to people and say, y'all, you sick? Oh, yeah, but they're at church and they look good. No, I didn't go to church. I rarely took a bath. I didn't wash my hair. I didn't put on makeup. I was so nauseated. And the only time I wasn't nauseated is when I was eating. So I would eat, and while I was eating, it felt so good that I ran straight to the bathroom. Every single thing, every pregnancy, every time. And I remember distinctly Tom coming in one time, and I was only laid 3 places, the bathroom floor, the bed, or the couch, for 3 months. And he came in one day, he said, honey, are you praying about this? I did not cuss, but I thought it. I said, I don't even feel saved. He said, no, I'm serious, honey. Are you praying? But I said, I'm serious. I don't feel saved. At that point in time, I couldn't have rejoiced if, and maybe it's just because I'm a poor Christian, but I really had the hardest time. But now I think about that now. When I see people who are not smiling or don't seem happy, and they're hurting. I mean, they are really hurting. So I put that in there because of that. Some of you may have a burden that just seems unbearable, and you're wondering, how can I have joy or ever rejoice? This is a story. What's my time? Am I good? I'm good. Okay. Down south, you cannot do this here, ladies, but down south in Walmart, if you see someone in Walmart that you have not seen in 10 years, or you maybe just saw them last Sunday, when you see them in Walmart, you stop right in the middle of the aisle, buggy to buggy, and you talk. And it's a known thing, and nobody gets mad about it. I have figured out you cannot do that here. People get really mad. They have said things to me. They have given me looks. They have made gestures. They do not like you stopping in the middle of an aisle. But down south, this is what you do. And this just happened to a friend of mine. She had not seen this other friend in 10 years. So they stopped right at the antacids. And another lady was trying to get antacids, and she never said a word to them. But what they did, they reminisced and found out that in 10 years' time, they had raised their children for the Lord. They had preached to them. They had loved them. They had taught them, you know, just everything that you do that should be right. And now their children were grown, wayward. The girl sat there in Walmart crying. Not one person came by and said, y'all need to move. Y'all need to get out of the aisle. Nobody. Nobody said anything to them. Here's what the lady said, this, which is what just really spoke to me. She says, with tears, I'm asking the Lord to take me out of the way of his plan. For if I can just stay out of his way, he will work this out. Sometimes, ladies, we just need to get out of the way for God to work things out. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You can have joy knowing that God is in control and he has a plan. So we need to make that our prayer. Lord, take me out of the way. What you're doing, it doesn't depend on me. It depends on you. Don't you just love Walmart talks? I just love it. So here's what we do, ladies, when trials come. Or if you're like me and you're a fixer, I'm a fixer. I see a problem, I want to fix it. And sometimes I start trying to fix it before I've prayed and asked God how to fix it. If you're a fixer, get out of the way and pray about it. Let God use you to help fix the problem, but try not to be a fixer before God's told you what to do. So here's what we do. We get a problem. We figure out what we're going to do. We ponder and scheme, and we're going to get this solved. And then we don't take it to the Lord. So we ponder and we scheme some more. So for us who like to fix things, write this down, Isaiah 55:8-9. You can look it up when you get home. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's how we can have joy when the circumstances around us aren't very joyful. Because we have a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts. And I'm so thankful for that. He is still on his throne. We can rejoice in that. He still loves us and never, ever will leave us. We can rejoice in that. He knows exactly what you're going through. We can rejoice in that. Our joy comes from trusting in a God who knows all and realizing that he has a plan for your life, for your story. Now, I figured out one thing, ladies. When you are constantly thinking about yourself and you're hurt and you're this and you're that, and you are really going to be miserable. No joke. I have figured out the more you do for others, you don't think about yourself because you're doing for others. I've been around ladies for the last probably 2 weeks that have been here working to prepare for this. They were the most joyful ladies you've ever seen. You want to know why? They weren't thinking about themselves at that time. They were thinking about all you ladies that were going to be here. And we had a blast. Think about others. And if you're home and you can't do much, you can write a card that might would uplift somebody. You'll be happier when you're thinking of others. I don't know what my time is, but there's one thing I do want to get in. Someone in this room has a bigger problem than you do. Way bigger. And if you see someone that's joyful all the time, it's not that they don't have a problem or a trial. I'll assure you that, because they do. It's just that they've learned to have joy in the Lord regardless of them. The noun joy means a glorious, triumphant state. The verb means to rejoice, to be glad, to exult. Now this next part, this kills me because I've got friends right now who are going through what I'm going to read. Let me read it first. 1 Peter 4:12-13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." For the ones of you out there, Sherry and Jim and Alyssa and Tess and Felicia and Melanie, Debbie and Kitty, Michelle, the fiery trial that you're going through, you're going to rejoice one day. And it makes me happy to know that God put this in the Bible. As I think of all the trials I've been through, I'm not sure I would actually say one is a fiery trial. That just, to me, is a scary thought. Yet, God knows all about it. How can we rejoice daily in our trials? Especially a fiery trial. I can't even imagine. Yield daily. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." If you will yield yourselves unto God daily, then you need to remind yourself daily that God knows all that you're going through at that moment, every day. I don't have this down yet, ladies. I really don't. I really, really want to be a joyful Christian in the Lord every day. I want it when I walk in a store or a mall or a grocery store or wherever that somebody sees me and says, "Man, you just seem happy all the time. What is it?" That I have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. That's what it's all about. Whether you're going through a trial now, a fiery trial, which is what I call it, a fiery trial, or problems, just stay close to the Lord. Yield yourself daily to that problem. And remind yourself of those four things. Life is but a vapor. What difference is it going to make 10 years from now? What's the other one? Oh, I'm saved. He could come back today. And the third one, what was the third one? It's no surprise. Well, man, you're good. It's no surprise to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these ladies today. Lord, I don't know what every problem or every trial that every lady in here may be going through. But God, I pray that you would help us to rejoice in you and to know that you love us. And Lord, I pray for specific prayer requests that may be coming to some of these ladies' minds right now. Lord, I pray that you would heal and direct and guide and give money where it needs to be, Lord. Provide. Lord, we love you. I ask you, Lord, to help us all to be rejoicing Christians, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.